to Jennifer, because the difference between the bylaws and the contract language says they want us to appoint two non-voting members. The bylaws make no provision for non-voting members. So I reached out to Jennifer, and I actually said I didn't think we were much interested in being non-voting members. But anyway, she wrote back, and well, she wrote back and said that they would redo the bylaws to be in compliance with the contract. So we're being asked to appoint two non-voting members. Now, I said very bluntly that I had really been interested, but I wasn't interested in being a non-voting member. Whatever. Especially on an 8-person board. I mean, you know, so I didn't hear back from her. Walter's concerns, some of them baffled me. I'm really sorry he's not here. Because I don't quite get it. And if anybody does get it, that would be a really helpful to the discussion. I didn't understand what the county attorneys would do.
Well, my recollection of the way the conversation sort of unfolded was for starters, Walter had some trouble with the language in the bylaws, hands down. That was his first sort of commentary that was glaring to him, right? Not to mention that this all feels very rushed. I mean, it is what it is, right? We really really doesn't have a solution. We have to move this forward because otherwise things get stalled and those doors stay closed, and that's not good for anybody. But his frustration was more around just how quickly this came about, and it just sort of was. He was rather hoping that it would have been well better thought out in terms of getting it unfolded in a manner that we had enough time to really have hearty discussion and feel like we could do our good due diligence with the whole thing.
Okay. Well, I guess I would think that the bylaws actually are none of our business. I mean, these are the bylaws of a private corporation.
Correct. And for me, to be honest, I mean, as I looked at it, what you just said is true, Kathy. The contract is the contract. It's clear to me. For me, this was a little bit confusing because it says what it says. It is what it is. So if it says non-voting BHD, then I thought, oh, okay, that's why we're meeting and we need to. For me, I innocently just thought, okay, that's what we're going to convene to do. So I was a little bit surprised that there was a little bit more context to, or a little bit more meat on the bones, and there was apparently more need for discussion. Unless I'm missing something, I thought it was pretty clear what we were being asked to do.
Yeah, and so did I. And I think the only discrepancy I saw was that the bylaws made no provisions for non-voting members, and the contract said we would appoint non-voting members. And that's their problem, to make sure the bylaws are consistent with the contract. If I had a thing to say, I would say when the contract got negotiated, we should have angled for voting members. But that's water under the dam. The contract is what it is.
So given that it is what it is our task not simplified then?
Yeah, I think it is simple. I think we need to find two people who would like to be non-voting members on this board of directors. And I think Walter made a good point that maybe when we talk about the policy around appointments, we should probably have something in that policy that talks about how people who do that report back to the mental health board. I thought that was a really legitimate thing, that if these non-voting members have something to say about what goes on at the Granite Hills Board, that they are able to report that to us and expect us to report that to us.
So that's a commentary about something that needs to be modified in the policy.
Yes, but it's nothing to do with this.
Right. That's a more of an overarching sort of a peripheral kind of issue that is probably easy to take care of, but that's neither here nor there.
Exactly. So I think we should entertain a discussion of who we would like to see, who we would say to the board is two good people to serve as non-voting members on this board. So does anybody have somebody they want to, either they themselves would like to do it or somebody they think we should ask to do it?
Well, I would like to move forward with moving forward with Mike Lappin as a candidate that would do well with this appointment. For obvious reasons, just the longevity of and his knowledge base with regard to operations and hospital communications, and I think that there's a real advantage to having Administrator Lappin be considered for at least one of those appointments.
Okay. Other comments?
Yeah, I would offer Dr. Schneider as well, in addition to Mike Lappin. I don't recall seeing a copy of the Board of Governors bylaws, and I don't really have a sense as to what kind of authority this board really has. It's more of an advisory role, I would imagine. The real Board of Directors has fiduciary responsibility and probably listed with the Securities Exchange Commission. And so this, you know, this is about making the local relationships work, it seems to me, more than having a fiduciary role and responsibility, within the larger corporate framework. So I don't recall seeing the bylaws, but I cannot imagine this board owning, if you will, that fiduciary responsibility. So it seems to be, you know, local linkage, operational efficiencies, making sure that the referrals and mission of the county happens, is, you know, operational integrity locally seems to me to be of utmost importance. And so my feeling too, how do we make sure BHD and Granite Hills operationally are in sync? How do we make that happen?
Tom, I forwarded you the bylaws just so you have them.
Yeah, and you're right. When it lists the duties and responsibilities of this board, it's really, it says be responsible for planning, management, and operational activities, adopt policies and procedures related to operation and management and compliance with blah, blah, blah. There's nothing about being financially responsible.
The other impression I have is that somewhere down the road, there's going to be a community stakeholder advisory group attached to Granite Hills as well.
Right.
And yeah, that's different than this thing about operational integrity and making sure case records flow, members flow, patients flow, compliance is achieved, and so on. So I'm very comfortable, Maria, with your suggestion of Michael. And I would add, Dr. Schneider, is kind of another piece to this.
So this is John Lehrman. I think those are two great candidates, but I just wanted to ask, and maybe this is totally separate, maybe it needs to be separate, but I was thinking about maybe a representative from MHEC, but I don't know that we have a county person that's going to be part of MHEC, the new site crisis service, to kind of connect that in some way. But probably not, I don't know. Mike Lappin, he'll be connected with MHEC. do both then.
Right. Agreed. Agreed
you're
with that.
You're on mute, right?
As far as the community advisory board goes, the community advisory board is going to be a community advisory board for the emergency center and to the Grand Hills. So it'll be an advisory board representing both institutions. So it'll be representative of both institutions.
Oh, okay. And who
because
would...
It made sense not...
Yeah.
Oops.
You're on mute.
You're on mute.
I don't know why it keeps jumping to mute. It made sense to have the group represent both uniformly because they will work so closely together and not have them as separate entities.
Okay, so...
Madam Chair, committee members,
yes.
What committee member Neubauer is referencing is the overall advisory committee that is going to come out of the community engagement committee.
Community engagement committee.
Yes, that's what committee Neubauer is referencing.
So does Granite Hills and Aurora, I guess, are they aware of that and supportive of that? And who would
who would
be in charge of this committee? I mean, who would this committee report to?
The committee that is being established is coming out of the community engagement committee, and there would be one member from the board of directors for. The board of directors for the emergency medical center on the community engagement, one of the board of directors on the
emergency center.
On the emergency center community engagement on the not community well, I got community engagement in my brain here on the
so the advisory committee would have on it somebody from the board of both Granite Hills and the emergency center. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Okay. All right. And your understanding is that Granite Hills, that's cool with them.
Yes. Jennifer had a meeting with Brenda and myself the other day, and she's cool with it.
Okay. Do we know about the emergency center people?
There's not been a meeting with them as of yet.
Okay. I'm not sure who they are these days, but I take it they haven't hired anybody yet.
Yes, they have.
Oh, good.
Yeah, they hired their management person.
Oh, who's that?
His name, he was from St. Joe's. He ran the hospital there, or the emergency center. Joel, what's his name? We got a memo.
I didn't get a
memo.
Kevin Klusner, formerly of Ascension.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's good. All right. So, Mike, are you willing to serve?
Yes, I would be happy to serve in this role.
Okay.
I guess my question is why I'm not fully understanding the need for Dr. Schneider to serve. Because I don't understand.
Tom, you're on mute.
Their medical director, Granite Hills, is ex officio on that committee, on that board.
On the
Granite Hills
board or the board?
The Granite Hills Board of Governors, I think, is. The medical director and CEO managing director shall be members. Medical director to medical director makes sense to me. Again, for synchronicity, making sure our systems work together.
I could offer some, I mean, my input is probably not required here, but my comment would be with the legal services being such a big and contentious issue, you know, that's an area that is under the purview of our treatment director, of Dr. Schneider. The biggest challenge for us is going to be the acceptance and management within the legal realm. And I know we certainly don't like to prioritize involuntary care, but that is our receiving facility under Chapter 51. Our courtroom's going to be there. I would appreciate that having that, being in the room where these discussions happen, at least, even though we don't have a vote. But my sense is the most contentious cases will involve an involuntary hold with a treatment director supplement. And I'm happy to serve. I could certainly be a liaison between us. That's not the end of the world. But it would be helpful, I think, to them to have that guidance around how to manage these cases within the legal framework.
That's great input. I think that makes some sense. So does anybody else have something they want to say about these two nominees? I guess the only thing I would say is there's nobody from the board. I mean, these are both staff positions. Maybe that's fine. What this says is that we would do the testing, so it certainly meets the spirit of the contract.
You know, and the reason I'm comfortable with those two names.
Okay, you're muted.
The reason I'm comfortable with those two names is I do perceive this to have an operational focus.
Yes.
Of making the two systems work together. So, you know, does the board want to get involved in those kinds of issues? And my feeling would be no.
Yeah.
We don't.
I would just add that I agree with what Tom just said. And already our board members, our volunteer board members, not getting paid or compensated for their time, doing this important work, and it takes a lot of time.
Yeah.
And so to be on another separate board, I think it would take a saint to do that, to be an active board member. I think having the operational experts, Mike and John, be part of it makes the most sense. And I think they can probably do it as part of their compensated work time, because I think it would be part of their regular job to have to manage that relationship. So I think it makes some sense to me, although Mike and John may disagree, but I think it makes sense to me from where I stand.
Good point. All right, so Jody, I have a question. Is this on the agenda, since I didn't look at the revised agenda? Is this on the agenda?
Madam Chair.
It was added. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Madam Chair, committee members, we did. Chairwoman Perez made sure that this item was added in addition to one more. So with that being said, it was emailed to you electronically. I did put a packet in the mail on Friday that had the additional information pertaining to the addendum. I included that, so hopefully you'll receive it prior to Thursday's meeting.
Great, thank you. So, Mike, are you willing to ask Dr. Schneider if he's willing to serve?
I'm certainly willing to do that. I mean, I am his supervisor, and this will just be another assignment. And to Dr. Lehrman's point, that this is part of our paid job to do this kind of stuff. So this would be just part of our other duties as assigned, just as we would, you know, have this function anyway. So I'm happy to do it, and I will speak for him that he will also be happy to do it, because I get to say so, I guess.
So, all those in favor of the governance committee reporting to the mental health board that we nominate Mike Lappin and John Schneider to be our appointees to the Granite Hills board as non-voting members, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes. Oh, are there any... No, you all said yes, so there aren't any abstentions. All right. Is there anything else